It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
And we rhyme the word sounding off with your name, Phil.
Yeah, there's another thing that people used to say that rhymed with Goff too. But I won't talk about that.
That was quite the thing, wasn't it?
I'm
goffing him off was quite a big one too.
I must have told you the Samoan story. In Samoa, when you say goodbye, you say tofa, but you shorten it to far. And then you often address people by their surname without any disrespect. So Far Havoc sounds okay, but Far Goff doesn't sound any good at all.
And you can't sort of smirk, can you? You can't smirk or look shocked. You just have to sort of play the lie of the land, as it were.
Actually, the Samoan Prime Minister has me on about that all the time. When he writes to me, he always ends up by saying Far Goff at the end of it. it's an old joke between the two of us.
I guess that's when you reach these astute levels council and stuff like that, you're allowed to be so familiar with each other.
Yeah. I've known Tuilaipa we were both foreign ministers together in the start of the 21st century.
So I remember about coming to interview you once in your office, and you had a globe, and I thought, oh, yeah, he's got a globe, he's foreign, international, yeah. I thought that was really cool that you had a globe in your office. Anyway, but still, let's talk about Auckland City now.
Yep.
Just a flat area in the country of New Zealand that you're in charge of. The teachers had a meeting with you last week.
We had they'd come to see me before privately, and I'd suggested that, well, look, you know, you've got a case you want to make, why don't you come along and address our governing body, because we have a public input session at the start of every governing body meeting. And these were principals that were very experienced principals. They represented primary and intermediate and secondary schools,
and just public schools, just
in the public sector. They were all state schools, and what they basically said was that their problems with recruiting and retaining qualified teachers were the worst they'd seen during their entire careers.
So the phrase was worst they've seen through their entire careers.
Yeah, and that's a pretty strong statement.
And that's not they don't foresee that. That's happening now.
Yeah, that's happening now. And one of the principals, Mount Eden Normal School, he said, you know, six of my teachers have left in the last year, citing unaffordability of living in Auckland. And he said, you know, we're having real trouble. We used to be able to recruit people from overseas. They now look at the cost of living in Auckland and say, well, you know, teachers aren't paid that well that they can meet the costs of living in a city like Auckland, particularly if it comes to wanting to buy your own home. And that was causing genuine concern. They had concern too that we weren't recruiting enough people into teaching. And look, education is not the direct responsibility of Auckland Council, but we did undertake that we would advocate on their behalf with central government, because, you know, everything that happens in our community is important to Aucklanders, and the most important thing in education is the quality of the teachers that you have. And if schools are having genuine problems with recruiting the best teachers, then that's something that we'd want to speak up on behalf of the education sector and on behalf of parents to the government about, saying, hey, look, you know, I'm not advocating that we have a special deal for teachers and housing. You know, if teachers are finding it hard to get housing in Auckland, what about people being paid much less than teachers? You know, they're finding it harder still.
It's the beginning of a very slippery slope, isn't it?
For any sort of
underpaid necessary.
Because, you know, the police will tell me the same thing, and the nurses likewise.
And
these are all professional people that we rely on. But, you know, the answer is
You can understand how a teacher would go, well, if I'm not going to get paid anymore, I think maybe why don't I just go and teach, because you're essentially doing the same job. I'd go teach outside of Auckland and actually be able to go out for dinner one night.
Or be able to
buy a car or a house even.
Yeah, you could teach down at Te Awamutu. You'll be paid exactly the same, but your living costs will be that much less. But you won't have all of the great things that Auckland can offer its people either.
And, and,
to
course,
do. But Look, my undertaking to them is, look, there are some of these questions that are about education and that we will pass on to the minister on your behalf. Some of them are about the general problem of housing, and to solve the problem of housing, we won't be just setting out to solve it for teachers. We'll be setting out to try to find solutions for everybody. But it does strengthen our position when we talk to central government about, hey, we need more houses more quickly, and for that we need infrastructure, we need more affordable housing. It does strengthen our case when we say, look, Auckland is, you know, 36% of the country's population, and we, you know, people that are vital to the success of this city are struggling to meet the cost of living here. And if Auckland doesn't succeed, New Zealand has trouble in succeeding. So that adds to our negotiating points with government, that there needs to be a focus. If you want Auckland to keep growing at the pace that you are growing our city, then you need to make sure that we've got the infrastructure and we can provide things like the housing to match the growth and demand.
Must feel sometimes like you're leaving that message. This is the 18th time I've left this message on the... can you pick up? I don't want to leave a message again. We need more houses. We need to, you know, to central government. And I guess we'll know more about who's going to be in charge of the purse strings and all that sort of thing.
It is a bit repetitive, but, you know, there's an old saying in politics, when you've said a thing for the 100th time and you're getting tired at hearing your own voice articulate it, some people are out there just listening to it for the first time.
So we've
just got to keep repeating the message, because it's right and it's critical to our future as a city. I'm just looking at the stuff in the financial pages of the paper this morning, talking about super city growth outstripping the rest of New Zealand. There's a lot of good news in there too, you know, that that we're getting more growth than, you know, 3.4% compared to the rest of the country at 2.5. You know, we're getting more growth and employment, and our unemployment is dropping lower. I mean, those are the good side. The good sides of growth, and let's acknowledge that, you know, and it's good that we have a city of scale that can do things and can compete internationally, but we really do need, and I the thing that keeps me awake every night is, hey, where am I going to get this investment money for infrastructure? Because the government is limiting the way in which we can raise our money. We need to work in partnership with them to address it.
It's an awful lot of energy to be spending on something which really isn't the council's job, you know.
It's funny. We get credit for things that sometimes we're not responsible for, and more often we get blamed for things we're not responsible for. But our role as a council is to advocate for Auckland to the rest of the country, not being indifferent to the needs of the rest of the country. I know the old Jaffa syndrome that exists outside of Auckland. You know, we want the whole country to do well. But we do need Auckland to succeed for New Zealand, because, you know, we're the powerhouse of the New Zealand economy. And if we're gridlocked and we're unaffordable, who's that going to hurt? It'll hurt Auckland.
Don't use that word, gridlocked.
Well, I'm finding it quite good just at the moment. You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I am getting a straight ride into town, and the Waterview tunnels help that.
I've got a Waterview tunnel question from a listener here. Ask Phil why no on-ramp or off-ramp for Point Chevalier residents at the Waterview Connection. We put up the noise for 5 years.
Yeah, they've got those big concrete sound walls there, though.
No on-ramp or off-ramp for them.
That'll be a technical question that the planners would have looked at and considered. I don't know what the answer to that is. I just know that actually the way the thing is working at the moment is pretty good. There are financial implications. The more off-ramps each one costs, you know, you're probably talking about $100 million, I'm just guessing at that. But there's sometimes traffic flows as well. You've got to rely on the professionals and the technocrats to do the job that they're paid to do. Hey, good news on the hop card. I took it up with Auckland Transport.
Let's just get the story behind this. Over to you, Sarah.
Is this the money expiring on the
Did you put this one on, Sarah? Did you do this? Sarah's having a good complaint about this.
It was a genuine complaint. Look, I'm a casual user of public transport because of where I live. I can't use public transport all the time, so I could put money on my card and then forget about it. Now, they don't confiscate the money, but if you don't tag on in 60 days, then it doesn't show up on your account, and you're as likely as not to forget about it. And there's about a third of $1 million that was, you know, this was happening to every year. You know, it was a small percentage of the total population, but quite a lot of money.
You don't get it back.
Now, what I've got is three things from Auckland Transport, and I've got to say they were really cooperative in working with me on them. First of all, it only happens when you put the money on online. It doesn't if you top up your hop card at the station, it just goes automatically onto the card. But if you do it online, you've got to tag on before the money shows, and you've got to do it in 60 days. First of all, they need a clearer upfront warning of that when you tag on when you put the money on online. Secondly, if you haven't used it, they should just return it to you, and they've agreed to do that. And thirdly, the good part is, applause. The third thing is, for casual users, they're trying to develop a system where you can just use your phone or your credit card, and you can automatically, they'll have an open loop system. So they think maybe in about 18 months, and that'll be good news for people that, people that are out of Auckland and don't have a hop card, for example, just use your credit card, just use your phone, and it's a convenient way of doing it. So really good response from AT to my representations to them. They were a little bit reluctant to start off with, but I think they understand that.
Pulled the mayor card on them.
they understand that, you know, the people that they are there to serve are their customers, and they've got to have a system that is as customer-friendly as possible.
Yeah, the things of customers, you want them to keep being customers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we need more people on our rail lines, not fewer. And if you give them good service, that'll attract more people on. And, you know, it's pretty good having 20 million passenger trips a year on rail at the moment, but we need to double that over time, and with CRL we'll be able to do that.
Hey, very quickly before we go, Phil, the Arts Festival future has been ticked off. We as ratepayers chip in, was it $3.5 million a year to the funding board for the various activities that come with the Auckland Arts Festival. Is that right?
I'm just struggling to remember what the actual sum is. It is probably something around
that. $3.5 million a month. But we had a little bit of trouble getting sponsorship for it this year. Didn't drum up as much sponsorship as we could have. Is it considered not a premium event, or what? Come on, it's the arts festival.
Or is it
the arts itself? Because they didn't mention the arts very much in the election, I noticed. Yeah.
No, they got record numbers at the last Arts Fest, 190,000 attendees at different events. They're doing outreach. It's not just highbrow stuff. They're taking it out into the community. Look, I think it's good. I think, to be a great world-class city, you'd need to have a vibrant arts sector. So I'm all in favour of that. But anybody that goes to, the events that you pay for at the Arts Festival know that you're not just relying on other people's subsidies. You're paying the price for the ticket, but this enables the Arts Festival to do a whole lot more things, and it's good for Auckland. You know, our first priority are the houses and the roads and the rubbish and the water systems, but do we want our city just to be a boring, dull city where great things don't happen? No, of course we don't. We want a vibrant art sector. We want to have an art gallery that really works. And I was down there looking at the Corsini collection earlier in the week. That's fantastic. Get along and go to that if you get the chance.
It's never a bad visit to the art gallery.
Oh, no. And the buildings are fantastic. You know, all credit. You know, we've got the old historic building. We've got the new modern one alongside it. They fit together really well. Great collections. We're now starting to ask for donations from international visitors, because 60% of people using it are international. My view is probably we should be looking at a reasonable charge for international visitors, because
How do you determine that, though?
Oh, same as the museum does it. If you go to the museum,
you look foreign.
If you're wearing the national costume of another country, you'll be caught for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they simply ask. I think that's how they do it. We pay for the museum through our rates, so we want Aucklanders to get into the museum free. But people who are visiting, great collection, you know, most popular place that international tourists go to. Of course, ask them for a bit of a contribution. You go anywhere in the States or in Europe, and you go to an art gallery, you know, you're paying, yeah, you're paying something to get into it. We're not trying to rip them off. It'll be a reasonable price. But, you know, I'm not asking the ratepayers to subsidise international visitors. To the contrary, I want the international visitors to help ensure that we can do even better things for our local residents.
That's a spirit. Good on you, Phil. Thank you very much for talking to us. We'll speak to you next time next week.
Okay, mate. Good day. Take care. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.